last week, Romans chapter 12. So let's go there, please. This is where we'll start. And just to finish up, kind of an introduction to what we're considering here. The series is What is Your Ministry? We've looked at the gifts of God. The gift that we're mainly going to be studying on, we talked about the gifts of God's written word, the gift of God's Son, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and that is going to be kind of the primary focus on things. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 12 here, and let's do read verses 3 to 8. That'll help us as we are reminded of what we talked about. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse number 3. Let's do this. I'll read verse 3. If you would read verse 4, we'll go back and forth. Verse 8, that's where we'll stop in Romans chapter 12. Here's what verse 3 says. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. All right, thank you very much. So we looked at there's three passages specifically in the New Testament, primarily that describe the gifts of the Spirit. This is the first one we looked at. And the word there, the Bible talks about the office of each believer, of every member that God has. That has the connotation of a function in the church, and that's what the Holy Spirit is there to help us do. This is a continuing need in the church. These are continuous needs that God wants to use believers to help meet. And we saw that each Christian has a function to supply a need in the body. The Bible's clear about that. If you look at verse number 13, take a look there. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, the needs that are in the church, God wants to use his Christians to meet as much as the Holy Spirit leads. So the church, meaning that local Christian congregation, believers, who are saved and baptized, that God wants to use in these functions. We saw to serve and to follow the Lord relies on God's grace and measure of faith given to fulfill the function. We still need God's help to accomplish these things. There is a sense of autopilot you can go on and do good works. But if you do it without the work, the filling of the Holy Spirit, without God's power and strength, unfortunately, it becomes something to praise you instead of God. That is not what we want to do. Amen? God needs the glory. God deserves it, I should say. We don't deserve it, but we may like it, but we don't deserve it. God says he deserves it, and we need to do it that way. And the only way we can is by being surrendered to his will to accomplish those things. So that's what we looked at. That's where we stopped. I want to just very quickly go over the functions, what they are in these verses. But before we do that, let's pray, and then we'll continue on. Would you bow with me, and I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, I pray, help us to learn a little bit more about what we can do to honor you, to obey our Savior. To be surrendered to the leading of the Spirit of God. That your word would guide us, Lord, tonight to show as a church, how can we better reach this community and establish your body, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. The function gifts. So what are they? Well, let's take a look at them. Gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12. Here they are. Verse number 6 is where this list begins. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. First gift mentioned here, prophecy. Prophecy in verse 6. Verse number 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And so the blank there, ministry, ministry. This has the idea of service or helps, serving or helps. It's a regular need. And then verse number 7 goes on, he that teacheth on teaching, and teaching, sharing the truth of the Bible, the doctrines of God's word, how they can help us grow, and continue to share what God has revealed to in his word. Then verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, exhortation, exhortation. All these terms we're going to look at in the coming weeks, not next week, because we got, remember, next week we're meeting what day? Friday. So please join us. Have a friend come if you can, and we'll hear from our missionary in from Zimbabwe. Looking forward to hearing and seeing them again. Then verse 8 says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So giving, another gift the Holy Spirit uses in his church through people. Verse 8, again, he that ruleth with diligence, ruling, or the idea of governing, keeping things continued down the path and moving along. Governing, ruling, governing is the idea there. And then verse 8 finishes with this, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So showing mercy, all these things part of what our congregation needs. And the Lord says he can help us accomplish these things, or we can try and do it on our own. If we try and do it on our own, could we do as good a job as God would do? No. Obviously not. But with the surrender and submission to the Holy Spirit, we can see God do great things. Let's go to the next group, the next passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So again, we'll revisit these things as we continue on. But tonight, it's just continuing with an introduction to what they are and where the passages are, and we still have one more that we'll look at next time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's take a look. And let's read, what do we want to read? Verses 4, and let's go to verse number 11, verse 4 to 11. We're going to look at the whole chapter before we're done, but let's go to verse 11. Again, I'll start with verse 4, please, if you would help. Verse 5, back and forth, we'll go responsively. And verse 11 is where we stop here. Verse number 4 says this, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit.
To another,
to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay, thank you very much. So here, the Bible tells us in verse number 7, it speaks of a group of gifts that are a manifestation of the Spirit. A manifestation is, it becomes seeable and observable. Jesus was, God was manifested in Jesus when he was born on this earth. God manifested himself through Christ, etc. So it's spiritual in nature, but is seen and observed through the believers in Christ. These gifts, let's continue on here. These gifts are bestowed by all members of the Godhead. The Godhead. Look at verse number 4 with me, please. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. First member mentioned here, the Holy Spirit, of course. Verse number 5. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. What Lord is he talking about there? Only one Lord in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on in verse number 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. So specifically, not that the other passages, they don't have or they excuse that it's only the Spirit of God, but here it's specifically mentioned. All members of the Trinity are involved in the manifestation of these gifts. These gifts are, and here's some thoughts here too, generated by God to, number one, uphold right doctrine. Right doctrine. We didn't read it, but I'll read it for us, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So doctrine is important in his church. And he says, here's part of the way we help uphold it and keep it on the right path is through the submission to the Spirit of God to accomplish through his spiritual gifts these things. These gifts are generated by God to, number two, be useful to the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, notice the phrase, to what? Profit withal. That doesn't mean that we come away with some kind of a kitty or something. It's so that we can spiritually grow, spiritually profit by God's grace. It's useful to the church as a whole. And then the third thought is it is generated by God to fulfill God's will. Look at verse 11 again, please. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. And his will is the best will. His will is the best. When it becomes our will, then something gets off track. Problems arise. But with God's will, it doesn't mean that there's never going to be any trouble. If you start doing something for the Lord, guess who really gets upset? Who gets upset the most? Satan does. Yeah, he tries to work against that if we're trying to reach souls for Christ and accomplishing God's will. He starts attacking, but not us. It does not become an in-body thing. It's something that we can follow the Lord together, fulfill God's will. This manifesting, manifests the presence and power of God in the Spirit-filled believer for specific, here's the blank, incidents. So as the gifts of the function gifts are something that's continuous, we need teaching regularly and exhortation and ministering and so forth. Those are needs all the time. These gifts specifically come at particular times or incidents. And here's an example, one that we don't see today, but was pretty well used, and really why 1 Corinthians partly was written, is the gift of healing. Would you look in Acts chapter 19 with me? Let's go there. The gift of healing. And it's no wonder why this is a interest even today. What is the most practical gift of the Spirit that you could think of that might help as many people as possible? Well, we know the gospel is number one. Number two would be healing. Yeah, we could walk into the hospital and clear it out by God's healing. We would, but that doesn't happen today. And in fact, it didn't happen during the New Testament church days either. Let's take a look in Acts chapter 19, although God did use certainly that gift regularly. Take a look at verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul didn't even have to be in the same vicinity, same room, etc. God used that amazing gift to reach people physically But could he do that for everybody and anybody? Well, let's find out an example that no, that he couldn't, and God didn't do it through that way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 20. Somebody has that, go ahead and read it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. See why I had somebody else read it there, Bob? however you want to say it, Trophimus, I don't know. But the point is this, he mentions here at the end of his letter to Timothy, he says, I have left Miletum sick. What kind of a Christian friend is that, right? I thought he had the gift of healing. Well, the point is this, that God uses it in certain incidents and events for his glory. Paul didn't walk around and just, he was able to heal everybody. As the Spirit was upon him to use that gift, that's when he could do it, and God used it mightily, but it wasn't all the time. That's the idea behind these manifested gifts. They manifest God's answer to prayers, that's the blank, of the body of Christ. How many times do we pray for somebody's health? Yeah. How many times do we pray for someone to hear the truth of God's word or the gospel? I've mentioned some family members of my father's in Ohio, and I would appreciate prayer if you would put that down too. The family of Kathy Pramick, unsaved. Her husband died last Sunday. And no gospel witness where they're at, and I can't be there. Saturday it's supposed to be, but we can have opportunity maybe in the future. But just pray for somebody. You pray for somebody that has the word of God that they can share with these people. And yet God says there were times, especially in the New Testament times, that these were amazing, miraculous gifts God placed upon his people so that they could share that at the time, something specific, something to reach a need at the time. They were not chronic, meaning they were continuous necessarily. Here's some thoughts on that. Notice the words here. If we go through this passage again, take a look in chapter number 1 Corinthians 12, and take a look at the phrasing here. I got to find it here. There we go, that's why, because I was looking at chapter 13, no wonder. but the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Even faith, there are times, haven't you asked God to increase your faith? For a specific incident coming up or a specific event, Lord, I need your help. Would you show me how to grow in my faith in you and leave these things in your hands? These are gifts that God used for specific incidents to accomplish his will. Every submitted believer can expect to experience a manifestation gift. Now, as I said, gift of healing and so forth, I don't believe that happens today. There's particular reasons by that. Does God heal today? Absolutely, he does. Does he do it by me or you putting your hand on somebody and taking their cancer away or whatever sickness they have? No, he doesn't do it that way. We wish he would sometimes, don't we? Yeah, but God's chosen to do it differently. However, he does heal. He does heal. And he says today, that's through prayer. Every submitted believer, so that just to preface these gifts, every submitted believer can expect to experience a manifestation gift, but not every gift. Let's read about that. Let's go to verse number 12 now. We're in 1 Corinthians again. What is the purpose of all these gifts? And Apostle Paul gives us a great explanation why we even have them. Here, let's take a look. Again, let's read responsively, please. I'll read verse 12. If you read verse 13, we're going to read the rest of the chapter. So it's a long passage, but it explains very well why God does it this way. Verse number 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." For the body is not one member, but many. And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Okay, thank you very much. As we finish this up tonight, sometimes we get this idea, and I can only say I think it comes from us, at least for me, that I read about these gifts and I, you know, you see them in Scripture, and you begin to make the list. You say, okay, I've done that, I've done that, that. Well, I haven't done that yet, I haven't done that yet. That's not a part of it yet. When God says, listen, they may never be a part, this particular one or whatever may never be for you, but there's something for you, no matter what, that is necessary. And what is the purpose for all these gifts? It's found in verse 25 and 26. Take a look at it again. He said this, that there should be no schism in the body or ripping apart, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If it's that way, what is it then? It's one body. It's one body united in Christ. That's God's plan for you and me. We're going to stop there tonight. Next week, we'll just list them as we get started like we did tonight. But consider God's plan for you. You know, what does he have for you to do? All this is dependent upon our submission and surrender to him. All of it is. We can accomplish some things. You don't even have to be saved to stand behind a pulpit. Did you know that? But you need to be saved and full of the Holy Spirit if you want to preach the way God wants, or if you want to serve somebody the way God wants, or grow in faith the way God wants. All these things are dependent upon that. Let's go pray. We got plenty to pray for. Let's pray about it tonight.